This feature, Clare Women in Business, is funded by Cumasun na mBan with a television license fee.
Welcome to this week's episode of Clare Women in Business on Clare FM. Denise O'Brien established her business in 2016, primarily to support organisations and people who want to excel, particularly during times of change. Prior to that, Denise spent almost 20 years working solely with renowned multinationals and Fortune 500 companies, such as General Electric, Lloyds Banking Group, Halifax Bank, and St. Andrew's Group. Now she runs her own company. Denise is Managing Director of O'Brien Learning Solutions.
Well, I'm a native of Shannon and grew up in Drumgealy. My parents came from Limerick, and at the time, there was nobody really from Shannon when we grew up, because it's, as we know, it's the new town it was back then. So my parents from Limerick City and County, and we lived in Drumgealy, and I lived literally a stone's throw from my primary school, St. Sennans. My mother, God rest her, used to say she could stand in the garden and see me in the classroom on my teacher's hip in babies, but that was Mrs. Skerritt. Yeah, so that I grew up around there. There was a ton of kids around there. It was a great place to grow up. Plenty of trouble to be getting into. In Drumgealy, yeah, it was fantastic. Secondary school on to the comp, so St. Patrick's Comprehensive, and went through my whole 5 years there. We used to walk up and down home for lunch every day. I was commenting on that with a friend lately, going, you'd nearly have shin splints going up and down home for lunch. There was none of these chicken rolls at the shop back in my day, you know. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was a great time. I really enjoyed school. I would have played sport. I was into camogie and had an interest, I suppose, in the time in writing. So journalism would have been somewhere in the back of my head, I think, at some point throughout secondary school. I would have been good at kind of languages and writing and English, and those were my strengths, I suppose. Yeah, so good times. And then went on to UCC in Cork to study languages and cultural studies. So that's where my next step brought me. And around that time, I was very young, actually, going to college. I was the youngest in the class, hence me being up on the teacher's hip in junior infants. So I was only just 17 going off to Cork. And I struggled to cope, to be honest with you, being away from home. And unfortunately, while I was down in Cork, my mother would have got very ill, and she had brain cancer. And she would have been up and down. Actually, she was in Cork in hospital, and she would have been in Limerick. And between the jigs and the reels, anyway, I came away from Cork. I came home. I didn't complete that degree at all. So I came back to Shannon. It would have been the late 90s at that stage. And I got a job in a factory, in a local factory, and then kind of figured out, okay, I need to do something here. You know, I did a secretarial course, I think a typing course at the time. Living at home, obviously my mom was going through treatment and all that kind of stuff. And then one of the big multinationals that came into Shannon at the time was GE. And I got a job, I remember going for an interview up in the hotel, up in the airport. It was before they even opened their premises. And I got a job there in travel claims. So I got into one of these kind of call centres as a travel claims associate. And eventually in there then I got into learning and development. I got into training and development. I got into an interest in training other people on the job. And that was my first proper career step, if you want to put it that way. And I stayed in Shannon then for, I suppose, a couple of decades, really. I mean, to make a long story short, I stayed in financial services, moved across jobs then because we'd Halifax Insurance Services. I ended up in management and leadership, and I ended up, I suppose, at the peak of things. I had a team of over 100 people reporting into me, with team leaders and managers kind of reporting directly into me. So I got huge experience, huge skill, huge. I went back to college as an adult with a child. That was a little detail I forgot to mention there. I gave birth in 2000 to my daughter Eva. So a lot happened, and I kind of refocused and reset and got an education eventually then for myself.
You had that notion, Denise, about journalism in secondary school. Why not pursue that? And where did that notion come from?
I always was fairly a bit of a rebel without a cause, you know, to be honest. And like, I really do, and still do, like to understand why are things happening. I'd be very passionate, for example, now about Shannon Town itself. I would have been one of the founder members of the Love Shannon group, which is now the Shannon Community Partnership. I'd have an interest in politics. You know, I suppose the voice of the underdog has always appealed to me, or having a cause to fight for, being good with languages. Sometimes I'd be the person who would come forward and speak on behalf of others. And journalism, I'd always be curious about the story behind the story, what's really going on there. And things aren't always as they seem. And I suppose that's a curiosity, I guess, yeah.
And did you know what you wanted to do with that degree? Because you were working with a number of companies during your time. Had you a plan?
No, is the answer to that. I knew I wanted a degree. I was interested in marketing. Again, that allowed me to be creative, to write, to express myself, to research. But no, I just was building blocks for my education and for my career. But I was very happy in my job at that point. You know, I was in leadership development. Eventually then, around the time of the crash, about 2007-2008, I was brought into a room in a company. I'll never forget it, my boss at the time and the senior manager, to say to me, look, we're reorganizing things. And they showed me this new organizational structure on a piece of paper. I couldn't see my job in there anymore because my job was gone. But again, being a multinational company, they kind of have a sense of onus. If they have a job in the company that they can slot you into, they will do that rather than make you redundant.
Or lose the expertise,
exactly. So I had the good fortune of kind of getting nearly a promotion out of that, actually. I moved into operations management, which was a kind of a baptism of fire at the time. But I followed pregnant ladies around. I did, I think, two consecutive maternity leave covers. But what I was learning then, Pat, was resilience. You know, that sometimes it might seem like, okay, the end of the world. I had a mortgage. You know, I was trying to pay the bills. I needed to be working. And out of that, I kind of put my neck out and said, well, yeah, I'll do that. You know, if you can give me the chance, I'll show you that I can do this, you know. And I took on new roles, but I worked then in operations in a big call center environment, and it came full circle eventually because the employment came back, you know, and I ended up being made permanent again, actually, in a completely different role years later. And actually, the lady who brought me in to tell me that my job was gone, she ended up going before me for a finish. Like, it's mad the way things turn out. So I learned so much from that, you know, and my career had taken a good shape at that stage, you know, and I was getting really great experience around leading people, managing people, dealing with all kinds of different stakeholders, being in a very high-paced, demanding, client-driven environment. I mean, it's tough going, but it was huge learning. Met some great people.
At what point then did you decide that you wanted not to work for anybody else but work for yourself?
So we were in a company that was being sold off kind of bit by bit eventually. The wing of the business that we were in was no longer viable for the banks in the UK, and the type of insurance we were dealing with was becoming extinct, to be honest. So we knew there were redundancies. It was not quite death by a thousand cuts, but we knew there was a lot of us waiting and waiting and waiting. So I knew eventually that I was going to be made redundant, and I would have a handsome package, to be fair. You know, they really looked after us, but I just had it in my head, you know, I had been working since my daughter, before she was born. And at the time when I had her, the maternity leave, I think I handed her over and she was only 2 months old to a childminder, and I went about my business. So it was in the back of my mind maybe to make things easier for myself. Basically, the lady that had to give me that bad news that day, all those years beforehand, she had come to me. She knew that I was being made redundant, and she gave me a shout and she said, I have work here for you if you'd like. She was in a consultancy firm. So I went for an interview and I was offered a full-time job, and they told me it would be very high travel, high demands. And you know what? I just thought, I don't think I can do this again. You know, I was coming out of a massively high-pressured job. There was a lot of change. I was leading a lot of people, you know, and I actually refused. I said, I can't do that, you know. And in my head at the time, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you need a job. And all my peer group at the time were taking up jobs in the likes of Northern Trust, and that they walked straight into jobs. And then they came back to me and they said, okay, would you do a bit of freelance work for us? And I said, actually, yeah, I think I will. And O'Brien Learning Solutions was born from that, out of necessity. I had to set up a self-employed, I had to set up a business. They gave me work, which was, I'll be ever so grateful for them forever, because they just made it easy for me. And that was the start of it. I went from there, I took on work that they gave me, and then I started to build up my own clients as well, you know, and get experience in being a consultant and going out and talking to businesses. But I had the experience of seeing it from the inside out, obviously, in the work that I was doing. But then when you're going out there on your own as a consultant, it's a whole different ballgame.
So when you set up O'Brien Learning Solutions, then what exactly do you do?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask me that. So I do leadership training and development and management training, because I spend so much of my career at that mid-management level. I do a lot of work with managers at that level because I understand the pain points. So I design courses to help them to understand, okay, how do I manage myself, first of all? And then how do I manage other people? And then how do I manage maybe above me, so my senior leaders? How do I influence them? How do I and do a great job and manage all these people? I mean, a lot of people say they want to get into management because they think it's the only way up. But I really don't think management is for everybody. You know, there's an awful lot to it. So I impart my wisdom there, my skills. I've trained in a lot of different modalities, psychometric testing, neuro-linguistic programming, a lot of different things that help me to help other people to be the best that they can be, really. I also am passionate about culture change because I've seen when the culture in the organization is working really well, the results that you can get from people are phenomenal. So I help organizations to create a culture that attracts and retains top talent. And I have a program around that called Evolve. So a client of mine this year, for example, out in UL, the University of Limerick Student Life Team, they came on a program with me a couple of years ago. I mean, there was a lot of strands to it, you know, but I did have the idea at the time when I met the general manager to say, you know, if we can do this, eventually we may be able to put you out there for awards and recognition and external verification of this program that we're running, if you like. So lo and behold, this year they were listed as one of the top 10 companies to work for in Ireland in their size category, which is phenomenal. That kind of work really gives me a kick. It brings me joy, you know, bringing a team from maybe being a bit lost, a bit confused, morale mightn't have been great, and bringing them on this journey towards greatness, like, you know, being a place that people go, God, I'd actually love to work there. That's the stuff that really gets me out of bed in the morning.
So what other areas do you work in? That's the education side of it. Yeah. What other industries or areas do you deal with?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm working in the aviation space a lot in Shannon and Dublin. The financial services industry that I came from has a lot of similarities in the aviation services. So the lessors, the leasing, that kind of environment. So I was fortunate enough to work with a company here in Shannon about 5 years ago. And then from there, it's all referrals, you know, so people go, oh yeah, that worked really well in our company. I'll mention you to my peer, my friend, my colleague who runs a similar setup in a different company. So what I do there again is I help them grow their leadership team. They're very fast paced, dynamic, very competitive environment. They have massive contracts. There's a lot of money at stake with what they do. So they need their managers to be really diverse and agile and quick thinking. And you need to be a bit of an all rounder in these companies. You know, you need to be well able to handle yourself and to keep people on board and get the best out of people. So in the aviation space is another area. So travel aviation is a big piece for me at the moment.
Do you believe that you could have set up your business on the basis alone of your expertise and what you learned in the other jobs, or did you need that extra college education?
That's a good question. I think for me, the college education gives me the confidence when I'm out there. But I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think it's essential. I've seen people who've done great things who don't have the degrees and all that. So having said that, I'm currently signed up to start a master's in UL myself in September in work and organisational behaviour, because I want to do it for me. My business is going really well. Nobody asks, okay, you know, do you have, what qualifications do you have? I mean, it's on my profile, it's on my bio, I would share that with people. But for me, I want to show myself after all these years and my colourful kind of past with education. You know, it wasn't easy, I didn't make it easy for myself. I want to show myself that I can do it. So I am going to do that this year, all going well. It depends, some industries you do need, you do need academia, you do need the qualifications. You know, the clients I work with in aviation, they have their own technical qualifications and they need, you know, some of them are accountants, some of them are engineers. So it depends. But for me, as I am, a lot of it is about your wisdom, your experience, your leadership and your guidance. Really, at the end of the day, I'm helping people to believe in themselves as leaders, as managers, and to build their confidence in that area. And I know that might sound a bit wishy-washy, but self-belief is a huge part of leading teams of people towards successful outcomes. You need to believe that you can create a vision that's compelling enough that people will want to get on board with, first of all, and then to hold people accountable when they are or when they aren't meeting the objectives. And those are the difficult conversations that most people actually want to avoid. And that's the stuff I learned in business myself from being in there managing the teams and getting it wrong and getting it right. So actually the college books didn't give me that per se, but the education gives you the confidence to go out there and as an educated person and say, yeah, I am educated and I have my own business.
Running a business, is it difficult? You're in a different sector to many of the people I've spoken to in this series. In your area, is it difficult running your own business?
I would say it's not for the faint-hearted. Obviously, I had that lovely subcontract work that came to me very easily at the start, you know. But eventually, I've had to go out there and make clients of my own, you know. And to do that, you have to learn about marketing, you have to learn about sales, you have to learn more and more how to talk to people, how to find out what problems they have that you can solve. And then I'm out there competing in a market that's, there's, you know, 10 a penny kind of doing what I do, and people want to know, well, what do you do that's different, you know, and what do you bring to the table? And for me personally, I'll always go back to my own experience, 20 years in industry, going from leadership to operations management, change management. And then you have to understand the finances, you have to be able to have a strategy, a plan. I personally invest in mentoring and coaching. Clare Local Enterprise Office have been a huge help to me. I avail of the courses they offer, the mentoring. I'm talking to somebody soon about their exporting program. I've got a mentor for that as well. You know, I'm very excited about that. That's the next phase, is to build clients maybe outside of Ireland. But all of it takes time, and I've learned I have to be patient. You have to be patient, but you have to be focused and energized. And there's days there you go out, you meet people, it's a no. They don't want to know, it's not a good time. You get the knockdowns and that, but then you just pick yourself up and you keep going. It's consistency. Consistency with everything, with your marketing, your messaging, your client meetings, the phone calls, the networking. There's a lot of networking, meeting people. I was at 2 networking events yesterday, back to back, and then I was working all afternoon coaching clients. So you need to be, honestly, I mean, I know it's a cliche, you need to be well rested, you need to be in a good space mentally, and just trust the process.
That was Denise O'Brien, Managing Director of O'Brien Learning Solutions. Next week, we'll meet Nada Hyder, co-founder of Morning Dew Cafe and Gift Shop in Corrifin.
This feature, Clare Women in Business, is funded by Cumashun Naman with a television license fee.